Dear ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the conference call of Eurocash SA. At our customer's request, this conference will be recorded. As a reminder, all participants will be in a listen-only mode. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. If any participant has difficulties hearing the conference, please press star key followed by zero on your telephone for operator assistance. May I now hand you over to Magdalena Kupiec, who will lead you through this conference. Please go ahead, madam.
Thanks, operator. Good morning to everyone. Very happy to have you all with us today. On Eurocash side, Luis Amaral, our Chief Executive Officer. And Jacek Owczarek, our Chief Financial Officer.
Hello, everybody.
So,
hello, good afternoon.
So the plan for this conference is that Luis is going to start with executive summary, then we'll go briefly through the presentation, and then we will have Q&A session. So Luis, please start.
Okay, just looking at the first quarter, everything was going quite normal until the 10th of March. In 10th of March, all of us know what happened, and the business changed dramatically in different ways. First, it was a stock up. After, was lots of restrictions were changing every week. So I will say that even if the quarter was quite okay, obviously it was pretty much affected by the business not being able to be managed in a constant way. Since the situation started, we are basically living week by week because every week new rules appear or something new happens and you have to make changes. Our wholesale business is kept growing quite nicely. On the retail, we kept to the work what you are doing at the starting with the new structure, which started a few weeks before the COVID situation. I say that all our projects resisted quite well to the situation of COVID, some going online, some keeping the business in the stores like Dujoven or ABC on Wheels, but all of them behaved quite well. We had few accidents with few businesses that basically the sales were zero or near to zero, which were the businesses were depending on Horeca. And so Eurocash Gastronomia, the site of alcohol for Horeca, and the stores of Contigo in the media also suffered a lot because they were in shopping centers. So I would say that the quarter was quite okay, and we feel that we are managing this situation in all aspects well. We don't have big accidents with COVID within our organization. We had until now in 25,000 people, 5 cases, and all of them were coming from outside. So not that people got it during work. It was more family connections or friendly connections, so nothing to do with the work. We have very tough measures to protect our people and our clients since day one, since the beginning of all this, and it seemed to work well. From the economic point of view, I would say even with some businesses which went near zero, the other businesses were able to recover and we kept the results in a quite decent level. So it's kind of everything new from 10th of March, everything new in April, but in general, we are happy the way we are managing the situation, and we are quite optimistic that obviously this will affect everyone. Obviously, will come a recession after this that will affect everyone, but that we can navigate through the problems. So,
okay.
Magda.
Okay, so thank you, Luis. And I'm going to skip straight to the macro slide. And as you can see, I got to National Bank of Poland macro research. Polish GDP in first quarter 2020 slowed down to 1.5%. What's very important for us, inflation was growing during the first 3 months of 2020, especially in two main categories for us, tobacco and alcoholic beverages. On the next slide, you can see Polish food market growth. For small formats, it was a really good quarter. The small supermarkets grew by 8.5% year on year. But to be honest, on the slide, I would like to focus your attention on the lower graph that might be very interesting for you regarding Polish COVID-19 restrictions and changes in Polish shopping habits during the last 4 months. So the graph shows number of transactions, average value of transactions, and average number of items in transactions. So the moment schools in Poland were closed, all those metrics increased. In next week, new restrictions concerning number of clients in stores were introduced. Poles were shopping more, but less frequent. Now the situation seems to stabilize as some of COVID-19 regulations are softened in Poland. Let's move to our business, exactly to wholesale segment. What's very important to underline here is the fact that year on year we've got more Eurocash PO platform users, and we are very happy that many of them started to use our mobile apps. 1 billion of wholesale segment sales was done via online channel, and regarding the standard channel, cash and carry also improved its sales, like for like at the level of 8.5%, as you can see on the right-hand graph. So, regarding financial, it was very good quarter for us, for wholesale segment. Sales increased by 6%, EBITDA even more. Only food service business was affected negatively by COVID-19 and dropped by 53 million. So, now retail segment. As we announced on the last call, it's integrated already. We are still working to centralize all the operations. That means we are creating new price policy. We try to standardize assortment, and we are improving our promotion and communication. And thanks to all those actions, Delikatesy Centrum Like for Like in the first quarter 2020 reached 11.3%. And regarding retail financial results, in media sales was affected by COVID-19 pandemic and reached such a small sales increase. Overall segment sales reached almost 1.5 billion Polish złoty, and EBITDA remained at almost flat level year on year. Next segment, project segment, Duży Ben with 21 stores at the end of March 2020. Contigo clients moved to online stores due to COVID-19 pandemic. Business on wheels ended first quarter with 99 trucks, and is nowadays having really good time as people prefer shops to come to them rather than the other way around. So thanks to all formats expansion in first quarter 2020, sales of the segment increased by 142%, and the EBITDA decreased to minus 14.2 million Polish złoty. And the last chapter of our presentation summarized our financial position. As we mentioned before, sales group increased by 8%, EBITDA after IFRS 16 increased by 4.2%. And net profit dropped to minus 62 million, and it was affected by currency effect of leasing contracts revaluation due to IFRS 16. And we've managed to improve our operating cash flow and keep the cash conversion at the stable level of 25 days. And we also got stable net debt EBITDA indicator after and before IFRS 16, that is really easy meets all the bank covenants. So I think that concludes the presentation, and now we can go to the Q&A session. Operator, please.
Dear ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin our question and answer session. If you have a question for our speakers, please dial 01 on the telephone keypad now to enter the queue. Once your name has been announced, you can ask a question. If you find your question answered before it's your turn to speak, you can dial 02 to cancel your question. If you're using speaker equipment today, please lift the handset before making your selection. One moment, please, for the first question. First question received is from Vanessa Alexander from VTV Capital. Your line is now open, so please go ahead.
Hello. I have one question. It relates to you. Hello?
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 Yes?
Can you hear me? Yes, I just have one question. It relates to your performance in April and May. If you could comment on your sales trends and perhaps the consumer behavior in these 2 months, it will be really helpful.
Okay, so I can tell you what you are seeing. First, April is a good example because each week was different. As you know, the regulations that affect our business were changing basically every week, and this had different effects on the business itself week by week. If I take you all months, I will say that Easter was probably slightly worse than last year. And the weekend of May were more or less like last year. And these are the two big events during the month. Total months, I will assume that demand was very similar to 1 year ago, but made in completely different ways, some ways in different categories, in different kinds of stores, but we didn't notice a big market drop. In May, just started, May for us is obviously very much influenced by weather. We had some very bad weather days. The combination of the holidays is different this year than the other year, so it's still very soon to understand how the months will finish. Started weak because coming of this Mayufka, which is very important for us, which was this year was just 3 days, when other years it's 5 days. And now we see some recover, but it's still early. But in general, I would say I don't feel the consumption is still dropping.
Okay, what was the approximate growth rate of your revenue in this period?
Now, obviously, we are not still talking about the second quarter. I will say that if you take out the businesses which went to zero in April, which are these gastronomy businesses, which are roughly 180 million to 200 in a month, will be probably very near to stable numbers compared with previous year.
Okay, thank you.
The next question received is from Michal Butura of UBS. Your line is now open, so please go ahead.
Hello, everyone. One question from me, please. I wanted to ask about the retail segment and the margin in particular, because I understand some additional costs related to coronavirus, but one could expect that with such a strong top-line performance, double-digit like-for-like, you should see some positive operating leverage effect and also some integration effect, and actually year-over-year the margin is slightly down. If you could please give more color to that and also give some guidance, what should we expect in the second quarter and in the second half of the year, please. Thank you.
So I start by the second part. Guidance at this moment, I think we should not give because, as I said, business is changing every day and we don't have guidance to ourselves. We are pretty much running this week by week, seeing what is changing and adapting ourselves. I don't believe no one can give you guidance now of how it will be the rest of the quarter or the rest of the year. At least we cannot. We think it's too much of a guessing exercise. First quarter, as I said, it's a mix of quarter. We started with new team from 1st of January, so we had some adaptation at the beginning because there are lots of new things because of the integration, which finished basically end of last year. So everything really started 1st of January, and this affected somehow the first part of the first quarter. And the second part of the quarter, you know, there were positive effects and negative effects on both on size and on margin. There was clear a stock up, which was made in last few days of March, which obviously helped the like for like. There was extra costs, which were relevant on the retail side to protect people, our clients and our people, and things simply which have, everything was new for us. We didn't know even where to buy the materials we needed. So it was very atypical. We believe that is normalizing now quarter after quarter. We'll see normalization of the business.
Okay, thank you. One more question from me, please. If you also maybe could comment a little bit on the receivable part. Do you see any stress in the sector, any requests for longer payment?
No, I will say we were pretty much prepared even to give it because we want to support the clients that need it. Obviously, in Noreca, people are more stressed, and they are, but in total numbers, it's quite a small business for us. On the wholesale side, so ECD, ECS, we don't feel big stress. As I said, we had a plan, whoever had to close the store because of any case of COVID to extend the payment periods is not material.
Okay, thank you. One more question, if I may, please. Regarding your labor force, as I remember, especially in your logistic facility, you have a material portion of your employees were foreign migrants. If you could please comment if there is any problems with this labor force, with closed borders, etc., please. Thank you.
No problems at all. By the opposite, we feel there is much more people now looking for a job than there was 3 months ago. Unfortunately, by one side, because all of us know what this means, but even with our part of Ukrainians, we have no problems at all. And no, people appear to work. We don't have absenteeism. I say on this side, everything else perfectly normal.
Okay.
Less quotation of people.
Okay. Maybe one more, just you know, have you online. Not sure how much you can tell us, but if you maybe can give us a little bit of color on Frisco performance during that period, would be interesting to hear, you know, how the business was performing and also a little bit of financial.
I will just say it like this. Frisco, as you know, has a new warehouse which was programmed for the volumes of 2021. And is in full capacity since March, since it started. So obviously the performance of Frisk is quite impressive. We don't know what this will stay or not, because its performance is done in two things, much bigger sales per client and much bigger number of clients. At the moment we had huge delays, we had to wait a lot of time to get the delivery of Frisco because it was impossible to get slots. As I said, we went to full capacity still in March. We kept all the April in full capacity. In general, our digital part of the businesses, I would say, was quite good. On Contigo also was the same thing. We recovered part of the stores of last year just with the online store. And on Eurocash.pl, obviously the performance is also good. So I will say that the fact that we have been changing to digital in lots of our businesses has been helping us in these tough times.
Thank you. That's it from me.
Thank you, Miro.
Before we take the next question, just a reminder, if you would like to ask a question, please press 01 on the telephone keypad. And the next question is from Jakub Krawczyk of RCB. It's now open, so please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, thank you. Congrats on the figures. I just have three questions, if I may.
First of all, can you? I'll just save them all one by one, I guess, in one set. First question is on the dividend. If you could give us any guidance or any points how you will go about this topic. Second of all, cash and carry, very strong like for like. I think, if I am not mistaken, strongest ever. And I would just like to understand maybe if you could give us some color on what exactly happened. Is it simply the stocking up for the small shops, et cetera? And the third question, IFRS 16, the situation, I believe we might not have all the information to correctly and accurately estimate the effect of foreign exchange fluctuations in the future. Can you maybe give us some color on how we can maybe do a bit better in the next set of results?
Okay, so I'll answer first two and after I give to Jacek. So dividends, the reason we delayed the General Assembly is simply because we didn't decide yet. And the reason I didn't decide is because it's kind of a foreseen how things go. Obviously, everyone knows that we like to pay dividend, usually pay dividend. Personally, I'm always very interested that we pay dividend. But there is too many things I don't know in front of us. So I want to take the decision of proposing dividend last possible minute. When we know better how this will go. Obvious, today we know more than 2 weeks ago, and I expect in a few weeks we know much more than today. So I'm reserving my proposal to shareholders to know as much as possible before proposing the dividend. So it's just being cautious. There is no reason. We have no liquidity issues. Our lines are perfectly normal. We don't see big threats for the moment. But if too many unknown things in front of us, I prefer to be conservative and decide in last moment what I will propose. Cash and carry. Cash and carry, as you probably see, is not just because of COVID. As being a tendency, cash and carry is improving the performance non-stop in the last 2 years. And that's what we see. In March, obviously, like everyone, there was this stock up at the end. But in April, they kept performing quite okay. So it's not because they sold for stocks to clients in last week of March that they performed well. The performance was good all the quarter and keeps going quite okay. So I say cash and carry, as you know, 4 years ago, we had some problems. We made big changes on the management team and on the area of operating. And nowadays is one of our businesses that goes smoothly without any big issues.
Yes, and Jakub, could you be so kind and repeat your question? I'm not sure I understood correctly due to some noise on the line. So
yeah.
I'm sorry, but repeat it.
No problem. Can you hear me more or less?
Yes, right now it's much better.
Okay, perfect. So I was just asking about the IFRS 16 revaluation of the leases that, you know, was in your financial costs and basically... Hmm?
Okay, so I understood correctly. I was not sure. So parts of the lease contracts are in euros, generally speaking. And then, due to the fact that zloty was depreciated strongly in March, as we know, we had negative foreign exchange difference, which we booked against income statement. So the entry is debt, which is long-term debt, which is a little bit higher, and then the cost in the income statement. Just a reminder of us, we had exactly the same situation in Q3 last year. We lost 7 million, so of course not such a big number because zloty was not depreciating at the speed like right now, which a big part of this was revised in Q4. So in reality, that's normal recalculation of foreign exchange contracts into Polish zloty depending on the closing rate of the reporting period. So there's no bigger magic behind it.
Of course, but the question is, I mean, can you tell us how many of your leases are in euros? And because no, I don't know if we know it.
No, big part of the big distribution centers is in euros. So I'm sorry, we need to come back to this, with the precise number. But the only ones which I'm recalling as you know, big numbers, it's big distribution centers. Part of them are, you know, leased from guys like Panattoni and Prologis, and then they are in Europe. So if you can be so kind, we take it offline and reconfirm exactly the percentage. But for sure it's a minority. So that one I think we can state here without any risk.
Okay, fully understood. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, again, as a reminder, if you would like to ask a question, please press 01 on the telephone keypad now. And the next question received is from Mr. Krovacinski of JP Morgan. Your line is now open, so please go ahead.
Thank you. Good afternoon. It's Michał Kuzawinski. Sorry, I joined the call late, so I'm not sure if this was discussed, but if you could give some trading update on what are you seeing in Q2. There were store restrictions imposed at the start of the quarter, which might have benefited your small store clients. How has that situation impacted you in Q2? What are you seeing now? Any feedback would be welcome. Thank you.
Okay, so I repeat what I said. Every week was different because the restrictions were changing week by week. Also, it's a special month, April, because you had two big events, which are Easter, which obviously this year was not a family Easter, it was kind of private Easter, so probably with less consumption, and we saw slightly less consumption on Easter market-wise. And Majówka, which is the long weekend on the beginning of May, which always from our side is very important for the sales of April. Majówka, from the retail point of view, I'd say was better than we expect in terms of sales, was very similar to last year, which we didn't expect, and Easter was slightly worse. If you are benefited, in generally, I would say that smaller stores are performing. We don't know still numbers of the bigger stores because we don't have them, and so we only have stores until 500 meters, and our clients are also in these stores. But in general, they are all with positive performance. The groups we analyze, and we analyze almost all the franchise networks we have, and in general, in the small stores until 500 meters, the performance is positive.
Okay, thank you. And the jump in tobacco inflation, do you know if there's any specific factor behind this jump? Is it temporary, or do you think this is something more durable?
It's difficult. There was completely different price strategies of suppliers. From the other side, there are also some fresh products which are changing quite fast, the pricing. So at the so short time, we still don't have a clear analysis of the inflation. We need more data to have it. But there are too many factors. Obviously, there are people which try to speculate with prices at the beginning of the stress, mainly in fresh products. There are people that simply just cut promotions. When they cut promotions, the price goes up. So I don't see this as a phenomenon that will stay with this inflation for the rest of the year. But I also cannot assure, because it's very, very difficult for us with so many moving parts in so short time to understand clearly. But I say there's a part of just stopping promotions that people stopped a lot at the beginning, and they start again doing around Easter. So there was kind of last 2 weeks of March and first 10 days of April where we noticed much less promotions from producer side.
Okay, thank you. And have you quantified maybe the cost impact related to the pandemic in Q1 in terms of, you know, the protective equipment, you know, in stores, etc.?
It cost us around 9 million. We had a saving of about 3 million because, as you know, we didn't pay some rents on the shopping centers. So cost was 9, the saving was 3, and lost margin on the businesses that simply didn't exist on the last 20 days of the quarter was around 7-8 million. So we have three effects that somehow appeared during the last days of the quarter.
I see. So then 6 million net
Michal,
on cost. Yes,
Michal,
yes.
I'm sorry. If I can add, you know, we're reporting this direct one-off cost connected with COVID around 9.7 million, like Luis is telling, but 80% of this in Q1 was in reality connected with the labor cost. Because your question was specific about, you know, some hygienic products, yes? So it was not majority in Q1.
Mm-hmm. Now, Q1, what happened is that for people to pop into work, we had to give bonus to everyone, basically, because people are in panic. And we had to put in place a bonus system to be sure that we have people in the stores. By the other side, the division on shifts also lower productivity because we had shifts in a way that people don't contact between themselves, which is less efficient than how we'll run normally the stores. These are the big costs in the first quarter. There are some equipment, obviously, we started to buy. Apart from this, as I said, was this part of businesses which simply stopped selling, which were mainly the Horeca-related businesses.
Yes, yes. And in Q2, what should we expect in Q2? Probably still elevated costs related to labor, some extra also costs in terms of protective gear.
No, protective gear is up, labor is getting to normal, not still fully normal, but it's normalizing, and we keep having this part of margin loss of the businesses which are not selling to restaurants.
Okay, thank you. So is it too early, or are you able to give some guidance, some statement? What can we expect in terms of the direction of EBIT or EBITDA for this year relative to last year?
It's not a question of early or late. It's simply because things are changing so fast that any guidance I give you maybe is not true in 2 days. Yes, so I don't want to ourselves here. Nowadays, no, the board is meeting or every day or every other day to analyze what happened in last day or 2 days, yeah? Because that's the fact that we are running the company during these events. Things are changing very fast. We have to do decisions fast. So giving guidance now means zero, as I said. So we prefer to don't give any. Just the only thing is, obviously, we are having the stress that everyone has, but we believe we are navigating this quite well and that our clients are operating their stores without big issues. We have no single problem on our supply chain. We have one or two products which were not available for a period of time, but nothing relevant. Our level of service always kept over 95%, which is what we have normally. We are just probably in one at all, it was because it was caught in the middle of the change. So there's no disruption on the business. We feel we are getting market share. We don't feel we are losing market share by the numbers we see from the stores of 0 to 500, which is the only ones we can have at this short notice. We feel we are getting market share. We have the businesses of the restaurants, which is stopped, but thanks God for us, it's kind of 10% of our total business or less, so it's not something that is a game changer for us. And we are able to operate normally under these conditions. So what will happen on the market and what is the impact, you know, since yesterday we start to listen to the situation getting worse on Silesia. Will this impact us or no? Don't know. It was our discussion at 8 a.m. But, you know, 2 days ago this discussion didn't exist. And this is exactly how it is going now.
Okay, thank you. And you had a plan to give a bit more color on the store opening strategy in the later part of the year. That was before the COVID pandemic. Is it still the plan to update the market on the store expansion strategy? Because you have been busy consolidating the retail assets now that they are in one piece. Are you thinking about coming up with the store expansion agenda?
No, we'll come, obviously. Obviously, you have new people working on these days. But during these last 2 months, simply there is no negotiations. Nobody wants to meet no one. So even if we send our people to do, there is no meetings. So it's quite, because this is not meetings you do with our conference, it's linked with small landlords. So basically, we are moving, but we have everything which is putting people on the field is an issue now, even for our area managers to visit stores. And we have been very careful. I said before you joined, you had almost no cases in the company. We had kind of 5 cases since this started, and all quite mild, and all coming from outside. We didn't have one single case coming from the organization because we have been very careful. So everything which is contacts with outside world, we limited a lot. But probably second quarter will be, end of the second quarter, will be in position to give some more feedback depending how things go.
And finally from me, you will be soon consolidating Frisco, if you can remind me. Is that from Q3? And are you perhaps planning to update the market on your strategy in e-groceries? And in particular, in my view, now it could be an interesting time to do this, given the shifts to home delivery.
For us, digital is much more than Frisco, as you know, because the wholesale part has quite a big digital part. Obviously, on retail got a lot of importance in the last few weeks, and we believe that will keep being important, because basically we see that people change. It's not that they just bought because they had no other alternative. It's they bought and they got a new experience they didn't have. So obviously we believe all the online strategy, it will be more and more important. Anyway, we were developing, that's why we bought Frisco here for this happen, because Frisco was part of our strategy for retail. And yes, we are ourselves working now on this, taking consideration new numbers, and during this year we'll update the market on both sides, wholesale and retail, on the digital side.
Thank you. And from when do you start consolidation of Frisco?
Yes, and Michales, regarding the consolidation, it's exactly like you said. So we are closing last days of June, so we'll start to consolidate from July.
Okay, from July. And given the perhaps strong growth this business has been enjoying since probably mid-February, is there a chance for a kind of faster break-even? When can we see this business breaking even, in your opinion?
You know, if with the numbers you have now, we'll be very near break-even, but I don't think this is sustainable because simply the average basket is too good to be true.
Right.
So if it will be like now, all of us will be very happy. I think it's not going to happen like this. We are going to stay somewhere before where we were before and where you are now. I said the average basket, which has a big impact on the costs, now is simply too good.
And do you think, just the final one, really final one for me, do you think that the start of cooperation with Glovo from Biedronka could create some potential competitor in Warsaw for Frisco?
No, we have a very different vision about this. I'm not criticizing or giving opinions about the strategy of my competitors, but we have, I would say, under 80 degrees different opinion about Glovo and about what's the role of Glovo for a retailer. We believe our clients should be ours, not from someone else. So our solutions are always depending on us.
Okay, all clear. Thank you very much.
Ladies and gentlemen, again, as a reminder, if you would like to ask a question, please press 01 on the telephone keypad now. And the next question we received is from Rasul Yevsky of Citi. Your line is now open, so please go ahead.
Hi, this is Rasul Yevsky from Citi. Kind of like a general question on the back of what you said on the call. Please correct me if I'm sort of wrong on that. assuming that nothing or much would not change versus last year for the remainder of the year in terms of revenue growth, is it fair to say that given the social distancing, given the fact that you have to introduce special measures to be safe, plus buy special, disinfectants and really protective stuff, is it fair that running the business is much more difficult under current circumstances and more costly? And if that is the case, then it would be hard to improve the numbers at all or visibly versus last year.
No, as I said, I'm not giving projections till the year end. If you're running the business now is more difficult, it's different. Because, as I said, when things change every day, you have to adapt yourself every day. If this is an advantage or a disadvantage for us, I only know what the competitors did. So it's quite difficult for me to say that it's going to be good or bad for us. We feel very comfortable on this ambient, I will say. We are able to decide fast. We are able to change things fast. Our core businesses have not been too much affected until now. There are more costs on the operation, yes, also, but also the mix is different. So it's not for me clear to say that because you have more costs, the year will be worse than last year. Sincerely, I have no idea. Until now, it's quite okay, but things can change. That's why I'm not giving any kind of guidance. But in general, we don't believe it's an issue just because we have to buy some more protection material or take decisions faster, that the business will get worse.
Okay, thank you.
As a final reminder, if you would like to ask a question, please press 01 on the telephone keypad now. We receive no further questions, so I hand back to the speakers.
So I will just close and pass to Magda. As I said, it's different, very different than it was 2 months ago. I don't say that we feel uncomfortable. We think we can manage on these conditions, even being a big company, very diversified. As the structure we have is depending on CEOs on different sides, they take decisions fast. We also think we can decide fast. We are quite a digital company if you compare in wholesale with any of our competitors, which we see big advantage for the future as we are positioned. On the retail side, we are probably also one of the most digital companies, even if still far than what we should be. So we don't feel that the world is going to finish tomorrow. We feel that new opportunities are appearing in front of us, and that's with what we are dealing nowadays. And we are solving the problems as soon as they can. And that, I say, is kind of the attitude we have today in the company, is think a lot on the day after and solve everything which is happening today. Magda, I don't know if you want to do any more comments.
Thank you, Luis. So I think that concludes our call today. If you have any further questions, please contact me, and wish you a nice day and stay safe. Bye-bye.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for your attendance. This call has been concluded. You may disconnect.